Okay, let me ask you this. Do people just like tell you their deepest secrets within minutes of meeting you? Do you ever walk into a room and instantly feel tension way before anyone else seems to notice? Or can you sometimes just sense what someone needs, even if they're struggling to put it into words themselves? If you're sitting there nodding along, if that sounds familiar, well, you might be what one of our really interesting sources calls the mystic listener. And look, this isn't just about being, a good listener. We're talking about exploring a pretty rare personality type, one that seems to exist right at the intersection of deep intuition, real emotional sensitivity, and this profound empathy. It's described as almost a supernatural ability, really, to witness emotional truths, to hold it without judgment. But also, there's this unique burden, right, that comes with being so open.
That's exactly right. And our mission here in this deep dive is really to unpack all of that. We want to get into the core signs, how you might identify a mystic listener. We'll look at the hidden struggles, because not all easy, but also the profound gifts these individuals offer. And crucially, some guidance from our source on how to nurture this ability rather than just being swamped by it. It's about understanding what it truly means, not just to listen, but to witness.
Okay, right. Let's unpack that then. So if someone's thinking, maybe this is me, or maybe they know someone like this, what are those telltale signs? What really jumps out?
Well, one of the very first things, and it's quite distinct, is how you literally feel the atmosphere shift. You sense tension before it surfaces. It's not like you're actively trying to read the room. It's just, well, that's how you're wired. You pick up on these subtle shifts, the energy pulls, even when someone's smiling and saying everything's fine.
Wow. Okay. So it's more than a hunch. It's like you're tapped into emotion before it even gets shaped into words. The sources seem to suggest it's like living right there at that boundary where emotion almost becomes language, but maybe doesn't quite make it. It sounds like a kind of advanced pattern recognition, almost subconscious. Your brain's processing micro expressions, tiny shifts, before you consciously clock them, like an internal emotional weather report that's just always running.
Precisely. Yeah, an internal barometer is a good way to put it. And this deep awareness often explains the second sign. People just feel incredibly safe telling you things. You find strangers sharing deep concerns, friends confessing secrets they've held onto for ages. You sort of become this accidental confidant.
Yeah, the keeper of stories, you said. That phrase from the source, absorbing emotional truth without flinching, that's powerful. Why is that, according to the material? Is it something you learn, or is it more innate? It feels like your very presence just gives people permission, doesn't it? Like they sense you won't judge.
The sources really lean towards it being more innate, not just learned behavior, but maybe part of your fundamental wiring, more receptive. Perhaps because deep down there's an understand of what pain feels like. So you just hold that space naturally. And there's another sign, adapting emotionally without realizing it. You walk into a room and you just unconsciously sync up with the emotional temperature. Happy places might lift you, sure, but tense ones can just drain you completely. You almost become what the situation needs, sometimes losing track of your own feelings in the mix.
Whoa, okay. That sounds incredibly intense. So you're not just hearing words, you're feeling the whole emotional landscape underneath. The big challenge there, I guess, must be mixing up what someone else is feeling with your own stuff. You end up carrying feelings that weren't yours to start with and maybe forget where the line is between you and them.
Absolutely. That's a huge part of it. The term sometimes used is emotional contagion, but for a mystic listener, it seems to be amplified. A fourth sign we see is seeking meaning beyond just logic. You look for it in dreams, symbols, moods. Logic alone doesn't quite cut it. You pay attention to the symbolic, the metaphoric, that felt sense. Dreams are important. Intuitive hits often turn out to be spot on. You trust what you can feel, even if you can't measure it.
Right. So the gift there is understanding that truth isn't always spoken directly. That meaning often hangs in the air, in the pause before an answer or the kind of silence that follows. It's like a whole other language.
It really is, yeah. And then finally, there's the retreat. When the emotional input just gets too much, you instinctively pull back. It's not usually dramatic. It's more of a quiet disappearing act. You need that stillness, that solitude to sort out what's yours and what isn't. For a mystic listener, alone time isn't just nice, it's necessary for survival, recalibration.
I can totally see that after soaking up all that stuff, just needing a quiet space to reset. I remember one source mentioned someone needing to just sit by a lake after a draining event, just to kind of recenter. But the danger, as the sources warn, is retreating so much you forget how to assert yourself, becoming like mist, they said, present, but intangible, seen as the one who sees everything, but rarely truly seeing yourself.
Exactly. And that leads us straight into the hidden struggles, because alongside these profound gifts, which we will talk more about, there are real, often unseen challenges that come with this level of openness.
Yeah, and maybe one of the biggest, one that sounds really tricky, is that blurring of self and other. Your empathy is just so deep, you literally lose track of where you stop and someone else starts. Their pain feels like your pain. Their needs just seem more important than yours. And you give and give until you're running on empty, then wonder why you feel so unseen, so drained.
It's a deep exhaustion, absolutely. And another struggle is absorbing that emotional residue from places. Mm-hmm. You pick up the energy like a sponge. A busy coffee shop might feel overwhelming. Hospitals, often intensely draining. Even happy events, if there's some hidden tension underneath, can leave you feeling wiped out because you're processing it all, even unconsciously.
And because you're so good at sensing needs, you can feel this constant nagging responsibility for everyone else's emotions, which leads to feeling like you have to fix it, right?
Right.
You become the default emotional caretaker, always smoothing things over, holding space for everyone else, often while your own feelings get pushed aside.
Yeah, precisely. It's a heavy load to carry constantly.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting, I think. Because even with all these challenges, these burdens, mystic listeners bring some incredible, really profound gifts to the world, things that are quite unique.
Well, absolutely. One of the core gifts is just this deep intuitive insight. You see patterns in how people behave that others just don't catch. You understand the emotional undercurrents, like reading between the lines of life, and your insights often turn out to be right, simply because you're picking up on signals most people miss entirely.
And then there's the presence itself. That healing, grounded presence. Our sources really emphasize that just being there authentically yourself can calm people down, make them feel softer. You don't even have to do much. It just creates this safe space where people feel okay being vulnerable, being honest.
Yeah.
That's pretty rare today, isn't it?
Incredibly rare, which leads to maybe the most extraordinary gift.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to truly hold emotional truth, to witness someone's deepest pain without needing to fix it or judge it or run away from it. That is such a powerful gift, especially, like you said, in a world that's often really uncomfortable with raw emotion.
Mm-hmm.
People want to tidy it up. You provide a space for it just to be a container, not a solution.
So vital. Which brings us to the guidance part.
Yes.
Given these unique strengths and also the inherent struggles, our sources offer some really crucial advice for mystic listeners. It's all about nurturing this gift, making it a strength, not just, you know, a burden.
And one of the absolute key things seems to be actively telling the difference between empathy and just absorption. I love how one source put it. You are not a sponge. You are a soul with edges. Such a great line. You can care deeply, profoundly, without taking on their feelings as if they're yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's about those energetic boundaries.
Exactly. And right alongside that is practicing self-empathy. You know, all that compassion you pour out onto others.
Yeah.
You need to turn that inward, too. Your needs matter just as much, maybe even more sometimes, to keep yourself functional. Ignoring your own well-being, that's just a fast track to burnout.
Makes sense. And also, finding your voice, that seems huge. Letting silence be a choice, not just where you automatically go. You don't have to disappear to feel okay. Your voice matters. Your perspective is valuable. People need to hear it. Let yourself be heard. Absolutely. And setting protective boundaries is critical here. It's not about building walls and becoming hard or shut off. It's more about honoring your sensitivity while protecting your energy. Think of it like a filter, maybe, rather than a wall.
Filter, I like that. And linked to that, allowing yourself to take up space. You spend so much time holding space for others, you need to remember that you deserve to be held too. Let your presence fill the room sometimes. You've earned that right just by being here.
That's a really important one. And another big realization often is that not everyone needs saving. Just because you can sense what someone needs doesn't mean you're responsible for giving it to them. Sometimes, actually, the most loving thing, most empowering thing, is just to let people sit with their own stuff. Trust them with their own journey instead of you trying to absorb it or fix it for them.
Yeah, that's a tough one, but crucial. Which really brings us back to that core message from the sources, doesn't it? You don't have to carry what isn't yours. You can witness without absorbing. You can care without carrying. It's a subtle shift, maybe, but sounds revolutionary. Honestly, in a world that seems to value loudness over depth, you know, speed over presence, this mystic listener way of being feels kind of revolutionary. You remind people it's okay to feel, it's safe to be vulnerable, it's okay to just be human.
It truly is. The gift isn't just empathy, it's that rare, rare ability to hold space for the whole messy spectrum of human experience without judging it. You really are a bridge, aren't you? Between what's seen and unseen, what's spoken and what remains unspoken.
You don't just listen, you witness, you hold what others often can't. So the question for you listening is, what does all this mean for you? How do you navigate the emotional currents around you? Knowing this now, it's definitely something to think about.